pretty old cat. Let's say that you now saw the look in media and all over, you just find more and more of the Hare Krishna movement, the ISKCON, or whatever movement, but in this case, that's what we're talking from. And you can see it's becoming bigger and bigger, more and more famous, more and more spoken about and respected and influential. Lots of money flowing into it. And, you know, which means many people are drawn to it. You see, these people, they have the truth and they are together. They're really... Yeah. And it's big and strong and many big temples, projects. And up there you've got leaders running it and very effectively, efficiently, and so on. How would you feel about it? Well, I mean, if you just think about it in general, now I just took the Krishna movement as an example, but because that's a bit where I am. But whatever it will be that starts to grow like that and become maybe very influential over the society even. Let's say, you know, it becomes so big that it starts to even influence the government, such as you have Christianity in certain countries, in Islam in other countries, and in Hinduism, as you call it, in other countries. I mean, it already looks like that, right, on national levels. Let's say the Hare Krishna movement starts to come to that level. You can see that they are influencing the government officials, or maybe even members of it are sitting in the government. And how would you feel? Would you feel, oh, how nice, I really trust this now, I feel safe and comfortable, and or would you feel a little worried? What are they going to do with my life? Who are the leaders? What's their plan? What, you know, there is this power factor involved here. And, of course, the money factor and all kinds of things. I heard they don't believe in free speech. You should just speak from the Bhagavad Gita. And this one specific interpretation of the Vaishnava philosophy, and you know, what do you find there? Heavy fascistic types, you know, who are then also employing this strong men, the military or whatever, or police, to all think the right way and act the right way. What's it gonna be? So what? I mean, I'm just again taking this as an example. But if you're Christian, you're this or that, a member of some group that you really have learned has the absolute truth, or you have come to that conclusion after studying yourself. Make such a little thought experiment, I think, is interesting. Because for me, the most important thing is not the organization or institution or the group as such, and the philosophy or ideology or doctrines behind it, or if they are good or correct or not, or bona fide or politically correct, you know, all of those things. I care about how the people are. Of course, we all do, don't we? I mean, if you have leaders in a country, well, it's the same. Their ideology and their promises on election, in the election campaign, is one thing, but their actual personal qualities, character, and those ways of being and treating and others and so on, that's what is important, isn't it? You might have someone who's sitting on a very high, on a high position with a fine title, and everyone goes like, yes, all glories. But again, what matters is how that person is as a person behind the position and the dress and the whatever. Yeah. And I find it interesting, and often think about this, how Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada started this Krishna Conscious Movement when he had, I think it was like 400 members or something, or even less. Or 500, I don't remember. He said, no, it's enough. We don't need to make more members. Now we train up those who we have here. And that will be enough. And he said, there's only one moon in the sky, but it lights up the dark night. And same way, even just one pure devotee can light up the night of darkness, of ignorance in the world. Which, of course, is how it has been since forever, basically. Prophets, pure devotees, souls, special souls. I mean, you got Jesus Christ, you got Muhammad, you got Buddha, you got many, actually. Some more famous, some less, but I think Prabhupada thought like that. If we got a few hundred of those, then that's it. My mission was just to spread and establish this bhakti marga, this beautiful knowledge and life all over the world, to make people happy. To make people remember and reawaken their eternal loving relationship to God, to Krishna.